us from all of our impurities. To this place with anticipation and with excitement, because we know you are here. You have promised, Lord, where two or three gather in your name, there you will be in our midst. And we come together this morning in the name of Jesus. We lift you up high and we give you glory and honor and praise. Father, search our hearts even as we stand before you. And Lord, may we come to grips with issues of life that will free us from the bondage of this earth and the bondage of the past, and walk in the freedom of Christ Jesus and the provision that you've made for the church. Praise the name of Jesus. Lord, we receive all that you have for us this morning and give you honor and give you glory and praise. In the church of Jesus Christ, all gathered together and said in glory, amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. If our hearts are stayed upon Jehovah, there's just one thing to do, and that's to crown him with many crowns. That's what we do. The Father's given him a crown, but when we give him our life, we give him another crown, number 234. Let us stand and sing to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Together now.
Crown him with many crowns.
Just one issue in life. It's in the last line of the first stanza. Hail him as thy matchless what?
Being.
That's the whole of life. That's conversion, that's heaven, that's hell. Hail him as the incomparable, matchless king, the number one in my life. Whether I'm in computers or teaching or a housewife, hail him as the matchless king. Then my life goes out from that wonderful, benevolent lordship. That's the issue this morning. It's the issue always until it's settled. Then after it's settled, it's right on, King Jesus. Right on. Second stanza, crown him the Lord of love. And I'll tell you, everything else that happens in stanzas 2, 3, and 4 follows his kingship in the first stanza. Singing,
crown him the Lord of love.
Number 258, the prayer of our soul, 258. The old camp song. I'm sorry. Yes. 258. Sang it a week ago. If it's new, learn it. Put it in your heart. Singing now.
Oh, we are gathered for the time.
worship this morning.
We will worship the Lamb of glory. We will worship the King of kings. We will worship the Lamb of glory. We will worship the King.
Praise you, Jesus. Desire is that your glory would fill this place. Oh, that you would just permeate every seat, every rope, move through every aisle. And breathe into lives, Lord, and begin even now the work that you desire to do in the lives of your children this morning. We give you freedom, Lord, we give you total freedom to do the work in the church, to make us the church you desire for us to be. Praise you, Father.
Let your glory fill this house. Let your praises fill our mouths.
Let each vessel offer up to you a sacrifice of praise. Thank you, Jesus.
A sacrifice of praise.
For you alone are holy.
You alone are holy.
Praise you, Jesus. You alone are worthy.
You alone are worthy. You deserve the glory. Jesus, you alone.
Just waiting for the Lord. Ask the instruments to play that for us. Sing that chorus again. Make it your prayer. Sing it to him, would you, this morning? Let your glory fill his house. Sing it to Jesus.
Let your glory fill his house. Let your praises fill our hearts. Let each vessel offer up to you a sacrifice of praise.
You
deserve the glory.
My lapel, Cindy, thank you. To the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. Verse 17. Talk to you about healing of spirit and body. One day, as he, Jesus, was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there, that is, to check him out. And the power of the Lord was present for him, Jesus, to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic. Matthew and Mark tell us that were four men took a hold of his mat by four corners, and beds in those days were like bedrolls today, and so they're carrying him by four corners of his bedroll. Some men came for them carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles of the ceiling, that is, in the roof, into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them and took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Heavenly Father, thank you for putting this portion of God's word into the written word that we may learn and understand for us today. Speak, Lord, through the speaker, listen through the listener. Illuminate your word. May it be responded to by divine and human obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk today about this man who came, was brought by his friends to the Lord. It's very interesting that the Lord was having this meeting, and it says the power of the Lord was present to heal the sick. The others are sitting around, the scribes and Pharisees, checking out his teaching. And he ministers freely in the presence of animosity, sometimes in the presence of plots against his life, sometimes with great joy of those who are hearing him. But he ministers because he's going to minister regardless of the human heart. And so this is wonderful to know that this morning the Spirit of Christ is present to heal. And whether there's faith or not faith, whether there's interest or not interest, the presence of the Lord is here to do his own work, for which we're deeply grateful. And I want you to see that this man was carried by four men to Jesus. That the whole thrust of this is that four people cared enough about this man to get him to Jesus. It was not easy. There were four men involved in this, and I wonder why you sit here this morning if there have been four people praying for you to come to salvation and repentance in Jesus Christ. I wonder how many people prayed for you to have you come to saving faith, and you're sitting here in the joy of your salvation, the kindness of God. And maybe you also now, and because you're converted, you'll do this, you'll begin to pray that others will come to know the Lord. And so, it takes like four people, that's a wonderful number, to get people to Jesus. And you're sitting here, and I want to ask, how long has your wife been praying for you to come to be saved? How long have you, as a husband, been praying for your wife? And wife, you haven't come to repentance and faith yet. Dear young person, college student, you know what mom's desire and dad's desires are for you if they love the Lord? They're praying for you to be saved. They're not going to kidnap you. God's not going to kidnap you. But they're praying for you. They're bringing you by prayer before the Lord Jesus every day. And they're saying, oh, Lord, remember my Timmy. Remember Jim today. Remember Harry and Rob and Roddy. Be with these men, Lord. We pray that you touch their hearts and turn them toward you. And every day they're bringing you before the Lord. Now, when they tried to get this man to Jesus, they couldn't get him there because there was a crowd that filled the house, filled the doorway, and they stood between them and Jesus. There's always going to be a crowd between you and Jesus. You're going to find a way to get past that. And they did. They got up higher. They went up the common side steps of a house in the Judean area and up to the roof, which was the place for the evening, and it was like their patio. They could go up there at night. And that wasn't enough, so he's above there, but how are we going to get him in? They start tearing the roof up. I can see the man saying, who's going to pay for this? Don't worry about it. And so they take off the tile, they dig through the mud, and they have a big hole. I mean, this man's laying like this, and a man is not like a little hole like this. It's got to be 6.5 feet by 3.5 feet, and they're wrecking this man's roof. I want to tell you, they are determined this man shall come to Jesus. And when God's children in this room have a burden like that, and for your lost and unsaved friends and relatives, and you're going to say, he must come to Christ, I'll tear the roof of my soul up. Lord, I want to lay him before you in prayer, dear children of God here this morning. You'll find that people will be repenting, and they can't not stop. They could exercise free will. But it's going to be so easy to be inclined by the work of the Spirit and to come to repentance and faith and go home whole.
Praise God.
Yeah, that's what God wants to do. They got the hole dug, and they start lowering through, whether they had rope or whether they kind of just knelt, leaned way down over, and the ceiling wasn't that high, lowered him on through. And here is this paralytic. He's quadriplegic type of thing. He can't do anything. He can't farm. He can't take care of sheep. He can't be in the marketplace to sell. And they're lowering this man in front of Jesus, and Jesus takes one look at him and says, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Well, now, Lord, let's get to the real problem. I mean, let's get to the real problem. He's got a wife and three kids. He can't even work. We're talking about thy sins be forgiven thee. Let's get him healed. Let me tell you, folks, dear ones, friends, loved ones here today, if you haven't yet been born again and repented and turned your lordship of your life over to the Lord Jesus, your greatest need, I don't care if you're in a wheelchair, is not physical healing. It's important. You said, you don't know what it means? No, I don't know what it means. But I know that Jesus, who bore all of our transgressions and our sins and our pains, he understands it. He looked at this man and he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. I'm on it now. So he made it the number one thing. Thy sins be forgiven thee. That was his greatest need. It was the first need. It was the greatest need. It was the eternal need. It was the invisible need. It's the need today. If you're here in this congregation this morning, your greatest need, you could be paraplegic. I say that with kindness. Your still great eternal need will be to repent and have Christ say, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Maybe his sins had caused this sickness. And if you're carrying around bitterness and unforgiveness and worry and cynicism and sourness, it will affect your body. It will affect your blood pressure. It'll affect your digestive system. It'll affect your intestines. I tell you, this is medical stuff. But Jesus says, I'm going for the root. The root is your spirit has been alienated from God, and I want to get it back joined to my spirit. And when that man came, I don't know when he repented, whether it was when they carried him the half a mile or the 3 miles or the 6 miles, When they start hearing him break up the roof, he says, these people really love me. Jesus is going to do something for me. Lord, I repent. And by the time he's lowered there, the Lord takes one look at him, and he who knows all hearts said, son, be of good cheer. Jesus didn't say, well, it's about time you got here. Christ is not going to hammer you. He saw the man's heart. His body was broken, but his spirit was contrite. He said, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven. And that's your first great need. If you're here this morning and you haven't repented yet in the Lord, then this is your great need. If you were, no matter how sick you are, make this your eternal need. Your eternal need met in the Lord Jesus, all right? Now, the Lord didn't just bypass his physical needs. When he got done that, the people said, oh, what's he? Who's he? He's not God. What's happening here? And now the Lord said, which is easier, to say your sins be forgiven you or take up your bed and walk? And they're saying, well, it's impossible both ways. Only God could do that. He says, now watch. And when I speak in the realm of the moral and the spiritual, and I say your sins are forgiven you, I will back up in the realm of the physical. Watch this. That you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, I say rise up and walk. Last week I went to visit the jail, the correctional center. And they have kind of like a new life, a new beginning dorm down there for the inmates that really want to make a new start. And our dear brother Rod Pearson is down there every week teaching these dear men so that the church has not forgotten those who are in jail. And I walked in, I saw this verse, that you may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins. And I turned to Morris Jackson, the chaplain, and I said, who put that verse up there? He said, I did. I thought, how marvelous. How marvelous. I was taking three kids down there who had stolen my mail. And I went, when that happened, I ran up to Nancy. I said, honey, this is for the furtherance of the gospel.